We are back for the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. All right, in a couple minutes, we'll be joined by Mike Halford, co-host of Halford and Brough in Vancouver. Heard Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m.
6 to 9 a.m., by the way. Can you imagine?
Sportsnet 650. Were you a morning guy ever? Did they put you through the ropes here at Sportsnet in the mornings
at all? I did some with Greg Brady just to, like, try it out or whatever. But, no, it's no.
Did you produce anything in the morning?
I've produced at times the morning show. I hosted the morning show for, I think, 4 weeks last summer.
Yeah. How about you?
I can't do it. No.
Tell.
Listen, every once in a while I got a morning hit with the guys at, like, 7 a.m.
Yeah.
That's painful.
Well, the worst part is just like...
What's painful? Your appearance?
Well, all of it. All of it. And then you're like, you're still in a fog and you're...
Right. But like if you want
you gotta
to...
You got
to
fake it till you make it, right?
There's a lot of faking it. Because if you want to have seen the game the night before and it ends at 10, whatever, like you're up in the forest, it's no sleep.
Yeah, it's really hard.
You know, if you ever want to watch a West Coast game, you're just committing to no sleep.
And... whatever, like, you'll always hear morning show people say it. Just doesn't get easier.
No. And like, you can nap after, and then your day's all out of sync. It's hard. It's a hard job.
It's a really hard job.
Plenty to get into in the next hour, including the Vancouver Canucks. Connor McDavid, only just 6 assists.
Just 6?
Just 6.
What a loser.
Last night.
Yeah, he's 13 behind Kucherov now for the league lead. Look
can I read just some quick stats before we...
Sure.
I'd love that.
He became the fourth fastest player to reach 600 assists in 616 games played, behind Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Bobby Orr. Wow. The NHL single game record of 7 won off by Wayne Gretzky and Billy Taylor Sr. And most career four-point games among active players. Sidney Crosby has 38 in 1,239 games. Mm-hmm. Connor McDavid has 37 in 616 games. And Ovechkin has 32 in 1,396 games.
McDavid just about to double up Sid.
We'll talk about this more after Mike, but like we're talking 2,000 points.
Yeah.
Very possible for McDavid to be the second guy to ever do it.
McJesus.
For sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so... The craziest part to me is the fact that 1 year he was like, just to show you guys I can do the goal thing, I'm going to do the goal thing, and now I'm going to go back to being this guy. So, impressive season.
The one off the charts was the 360 to Evander Kane last night.
What is that even? The defenders are just like, why? Okay.
Why'd you do that?
Yeah, all right, have it then.
It's unstoppable.
What are you supposed to do?
And what is the NHL record?
He's done that one before. I forget who he did it to before, but he's done that move before. Yeah.
And the record 7?
7.
In a game. Gretzky's done it 3 times and like a name
Billy,
I didn't know.
Billy Taylor Sr.
Billy Talent.
No Mario?
Nope.
7 assists in a game.
Billy yeah.
Taylor.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Assists are hard.
Yeah. It's 3 good games in your Matthews total.
Yeah, it's hard.
Okay. Connor had 6 assists last night.
God, I baited him.
Yes. Austin Matthews.
Here we go.
Has had 6 assists in a month and a half.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Billy Taylor Sr. played... born May 3rd, 1919 in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
7 assist game against
played.
The Bramford Wanderers.
323 career games, a lot with the Maple Leafs.
Listen, I'm not suggesting we change anything historically here.
Okay.
But if I was to make one change to the scoring system in the National Hockey League, I would take away... the secondary assist.
Take it away outright. Yeah.
Going
take
full KHL. Isn't that what they do in the KHL? I think it's only one. I think it's one
right?
assist in the KHL.
I think it's ridiculous that a secondary assist has the same value as a primary assist.
You know, you're not going to get much argument from me there. They are different things. I think rather than take it away, there would be value. Because I think there's a lot of D-men who start rushes and, you know, get the puck going. There's value in noting. It would be interesting, though, to have it separated, like, you know, second assist, first assist, goals, tally them up.
Half an assist, a quarter of an assist on a secondary.
Then, yeah, if you're given a half assist for secondary and bring in a third assist and get a quarter point.
You're just saying this because wasn't Marner like the primary assist king for a little while?
I don't know.
Imagine how many assists Matthews would have if Marner could shoot.
Should it be more? It should be noted. I want to know how many are direct pass from you.
Not to be condescending here, but there are that's available. We have that.
I don't want to look for them. Okay. I want them delivered.
All right. You know what? I'm going to provide that for you.
Thank you.
Let's go.
All right. All right. Let's welcome him in. Mike Halford from the Halford and Brough Show in Vancouver. Mike, how are you, pal?
Good. How are you guys doing?
You want to weigh in on this riveting conversation on primary and secondary assists based on Connor McDavid's six?
It's funny. I was like seriously Googling, did KHL eliminate secondary assists? Does not appear that they have, by the way, as I do the research for the show.
They have. I'm an idiot.
No, they haven't. just made it up? Cool. Thanks.
It's fine. Well, because we used to have this debate all the time. Not debate, but the conversation used to happen all the time because the Sedins were the masters of the primary and secondary assists because they had so many of them split between them, right? It would be one to the other goal, one to the other goal. But, you know, it's funny. Like, there is a bit of literature, for lack of a better phrase. I don't really know if you consider it literature. But on this, because it's really the only league that does it, right? Like, the NBA has, like, anecdotal references to, they call them hockey assists, right? But you only get the primary assist. And the same thing with, like, international football and in North America with, like, the MLS soccer, too. It's just primary assists. You may be onto something here, Kipper.
Oh, gosh. I hope not.
An analyst revolution.
And then there's always the phantom secondary assist.
When I was in junior hockey, that was a big one. You know, there is always guys hollering at the ref. 12 on there. 12 had one.
12. 14 and 12.
Yeah.
14 and 12. How are things out west, Mike?
Everyone's living the dream out here. This is great. A 4-point cushion atop the standings in the NHL. Phil Kessel's coming out to have a skate with the minor league team. It's terrific. Yeah, it was a fun show this morning. I mean, that was a very sort of business-like win over Chicago last night. We were joking that we thought the Canucks might have some adversity on that trip that just wrapped up. And then we said they sort of dabbled in adversity. They tried it on for size in Boston and then a little bit in Detroit. And then they're like, we're not really big fans of this. So then they went back and won a couple games. So it's been good. It's been good living out west.
Where is the fan base on Phil Kessel coming in and being a part of this? Is this, is it more legitimate because the Canucks are one of the top teams in the league? If they would have found themselves on the outside looking in, would this have been a move that would roll the eyes back in many of the fans' heads?
Okay, so three things on this. One, because the management group has done such a good job identifying players and bringing them into the system, they've built a sort of inherent trust. They've got the benefit of the doubt. So if they're going to try something like this, then I think the majority of the fans are like, you know what? In Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford, we trust. Go ahead and make the move. Two, specifically, the connection between Pittsburgh and Vancouver has been a fruitful one. Like almost everybody that's come along from the Pittsburgh days and the Pittsburgh relationship has been good. And that extends to the players like Lafferty and Cole and Bluger and, you know, DeSmith is the backup goalie, and on and on and on. So, you know, people are pretty optimistic about if you find someone from that Pittsburgh pipeline, like it's the chances that it's probably going to work out because, and the big one is Tocchet, right? Tocchet had a good relationship with all these guys that got brought in, but perhaps none more celebrated as the one he had with Kessel. Like, I mean, the stories of Tocchet being the Kessel whisperer when he was the assistant coach at Pittsburgh and how they were able to figure out that great fit with the HBK, the Hagelin, Bonino, Kessel line that was so vital to the two Stanley Cups. So there's enough optimism in the sort of theory, the idea, the concept of it. The question now is going to be, do you go from that to the actual execution of the plan? And that's where it starts to get a little murkier.
Well, yeah, I guess where do you stand on it? Like, do you see a fit? Can Kessel work with them? Like, it's a fascinating thought in theory, but to me, it's, you know, are you better off with a bigger, faster guy who works hard and dumps it in forechecks than another guy who can, you know, rip one in the net with a certain touch, but maybe doesn't create that touch as much anymore?
Like, this was funny because I've been talking about this for months on the show because Phil Kessel is one of my favorite players of the last 20 years. Like, I love everything about the guy. I love his personality. Yeah. I love he's got this sort of like everyman's physique, and maybe he doesn't necessarily have to do the VO2 max to the nth degree and doesn't care about things like sports science. He's just an unreal athlete that he's been able to play, and he loves playing hockey. I mean, you really have to love something to be coming back at this stage of the game and going up to Abbotsford to play hockey. Like, you have to really, really want to do it. So I love the guy. The fit is a challenge because right now I'd be hard pressed to see him be a bona fide top six guy just because of the workload and the minutes involved. You're not doing anything to the third line because the third line is turned into probably the best third line in the NHL. And is he a fourth line guy? I mean, the thing with Vegas last year is, when, you know, rubber hit the road and it was playoff time, they felt that when Will Carrier got healthy, he was a better fit because his game was more suited to fourth line minutes and Phil was on the outside looking in. There's also the fitness factor. I mean, you got to remember his last game, I think, was April 12th of 2023. So you're talking nearly 12 months of not having a single NHL game. And I know Parise just linked on with Colorado and it looks like it's been okay, but this is a long layoff.
Yeah.
He's going to need to get his legs. And even if he does, I don't know where the fit is. But I think at the end of the day, the sentiment would be like, nothing ventured, nothing gained. It's low risk with potentially high reward, and you may as well try it. If it doesn't work out, no skin off anybody's back. So it's kind of a freebie in that regard.
So I imagine then, for sure, they're looking at him clearly as a 13th forward. He's not getting in unless somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked to Manny Viveros. He's the head coach of the Western Hockey League's Vancouver Giants. Now, last year he was with Vegas. He was the head coach of the AHL team in Henderson. So he was around the NHL club a lot. He was around Phil a lot. And the one thing that he told us this morning was, like, every guy on that team loved Kessel. There was, like, the sort of unintentional sense of humor that cracked guys up. He was great in the room. And then when he became a black ace in the playoffs, worked his tail off, loved being there, and was, you know, a guy that guys could ask questions of or lean on and was never sour about being in the lineup and then being out of it. So there is value in that. I mean, Kipper, I'm sure, you know, you probably have a couple anecdotes from your playing days about guys that didn't have as huge of a role on the ice as they did off it. And the Canucks really don't have that. If you look on paper, they're not a very vocal team to begin with. Tockett noted that when he came in, that was kind of a quiet group and they don't have a ton of experience in the postseason. So that's another reason why it's like, hey, if you give him a run out and he's the 13th forward and he plays a handful of minutes in a handful of games, maybe that's more than enough for everybody. And maybe it is an asset to this team and something cool for Phil Kessel as well. Right.
Yes. It's honestly so fascinating in sports. We love stories. This is a great story to follow. The Canucks have been at the center of so many great stories this year. They've, you know, been the recipient of the best player in a big trade, I would say. How has the Elias Lindholm experience worked out thus far?
Yeah, like early days, right? He hasn't even played a home game yet. He's going to get his first one on Thursday against Detroit. So, and Tockett admitted after the Washington game on Sunday before the Super Bowl, that he's really bounced them around. Like, he's played with five or six different forwards already, and he's been deployed on the power play. But I mean, now they've got him playing, and granted, one game, but it looks good against Chicago with Pettersson and Nils Höglander, who got bumped up from the fourth line. So it's sort of this Swedish trio, Trey Kroner line that's got a good innate ability to play. And a couple of things with Lindholm. One, I didn't realize he was as good of a puck tipper as he is. I know in his first game, he scored two on the power play off Quinn Hughes' point shots. And Hughes said, I think the line was, if I put 50 pucks on net, he's tipping 49 of them. And I didn't realize that he's as big and as physical as he is. He had a play last night where he really just sort of muscled Jacob Megna off a puck. And that got loose to Höglander, and Höglander scored what was eventually the game-winning goal. So I like it a lot. I can see why he kind of floundered in Calgary this year playing with, I think it was Sharon Govich and maybe Mangiapane. Mm-hmm. So playing with better players is going to be a better thing for him. And you can see it. He's really cerebral, like a bright guy. And it's just going to take time for him to find the right fit because, as I mentioned, Tockett's had him playing with all the top six guys so far. And it's kind of been a bit of a jumble that way.
Are people wondering if Lindholm's going to end up being a rental or not? We know that the talks are awfully quiet with Pettersson, but where does it stand with Lindholm? I can't believe for one second they made this move without thinking that we're going to take a legit shot at signing long-term Lindholm as well.
The most interesting sort of 4D chess idea that I heard on this was from our play-by-play guy on Sportsnet 650, Brendan Batchelor. And he said, look, what you could end up having with Lindholm is if things go pear-shaped with Pettersson in negotiations, or you just feel like it's not going to happen and you don't want to run the risk of going in to the abyss, you then pivot and you've got Lindholm as maybe not an ideal replacement candidate, but one that's in-house, one that you could conceivably link to long-term, and you don't have to go in some sort of bizarre nuclear option where you're trying to trade one guy and then find another one. So I've got time for that. I don't think the Canucks necessarily picked up Lindholm with that in mind, but it is a pivot point that you could feasibly pull off because, again, they're going to have the opportunity to have him in here for a few months, get him a little more acclimated to the group, and then if it works out, so be it. Now, Alvin did say, he did say when they first acquired him that he thought there was a way that they could keep Pettersson and Lindholm. And then when I think pressed further, he was like, that's all I have to say about that. And I was like, yeah, it seems a little far-fetched, but I like the hustle. Good job. So we'll see. I think as it goes along, people are probably going to want him around for more than a rental period. But right now, the majority of people, myself included, are looking at it as let's get it through the regular season, through the playoffs, and then figure the rest out later. Not necessarily call it a rental, but just kind of look at it in the short term.
You didn't realize when he said that he meant he was going to have Kessel on league minimum. That's how he was going to make it all work. This is
right. We have to let every other player go on the roster. But my yes. God, we're going to have Petey and Lindholm, man.
Fair enough. Well, and the Petey thing is just worth revisiting for us here. Haven't got a take on it in a while. Has there been any movement updates? Has your opinion changed? Is it still just one of those things where you throw up your arms and go, we'll find out in the postseason?
We'll find out in the postseason. Actually, you know what? There is some thought out there that it's gotten so quiet and everything is clammed up so much. Everyone anticipated that the All-Star break in Toronto was going to be some sort of moment of magnitude, right? Because they could have talked with the agents. I believe it's Newport, if I'm not mistaken. So they're based out of Toronto. And I think it was a thing where everyone just assumed that's a natural time to do anything. And we heard nothing. It's been absolute crickets. So now people are trying to turn that into something, saying it's so quiet. So quiet that something must be going on. But
there's
nothing.
Maybe
down.
It's something. I love it, bro.
It's so nothing. It could be something. It's up, down, it's left. I mean, the bottom line is that we you know, the debate happens on a daily basis, right? Yeah. People are convinced and other people aren't. People, want them to be here forever. And people are saying that it's risky to sink the 12 or 13 million that you're going to have to sink into them. So it rages on a daily basis. So from our perspective, there's noise. From Pettersson's camp and the Canucks camp, there's none. And I have no idea when this thing is going to get done. I know that's why you brought me on, for scintillating analysis like that.
So. We're talking to Mike Halford, co-host of the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. Mike, we don't think Jimmy Rutherford and Alvin are done by any stretch here. There's some sexy names out there. Vancouver Canuck fans are bantering here. And is there a thought that they want to mess with the chemistry that much more?
It's a great question, right? Because Lindholm was a pretty big ad, and he takes a lot of minutes and a lot of roles. Like, right, first unit power play right away, top 6 minutes right away. It hasn't necessarily messed with the chemistry because they did need another piece in that top six. The question now is, what kind of shopping do you want to do? Like, I could see them adding something on defense just because it's not necessarily them, but any team that goes into the playoffs is going to need depth on defense. I remember, I think it was Lawrence Gilman at one point said that, he thought that a West Coast team with the additional travel, and if you're going to make a deep run, you need to go 9 deep on defense. So they're just going to need bodies back there. There's been some talk that they could add another winger, and a guy like Vetrano out of Anaheim has kind of gotten some buzz, but this is more among like the fantasy hockey trade guys that call into the show. And I'm not sure how much there is there. They've got assets to move. They don't want to move Lekkerimäki or Tom Willander, their top two prospects. They parted with a guy who was probably the number 4 or 5 prospect in the organization, and Hunter Bruchewitz, and that was in the trade with Calgary. So they've got things to move, but I just wonder if they've done their best. late game shopping, and the next deal might be far less salacious or sexy or attractive, but it might be one of those more traditionals. We're going to get this guy in for a third round pick on March 7th, and he's going to add to our group. I kind of see that's how it's going to play out.
Yeah, that would make sense. So, you know, where they're at in the schedule, you know, here in Toronto right now, where we just went through a whole Morgan Riley fiasco with Ridley Greig, and people have been asking, is the Jake Walman thing sort of a comparable, you know, hitting the gritty on the Canucks after a win? I mean, he's having fun, right? But, you know, they are playing Vancouver in Vancouver tomorrow night. Is there any sense that Canucks players cared about that or about being shown up and then there's going to be some sort of, I don't know, backlash?
Okay, so I kept bringing it up, but as a joke. I thought I was being funny on the radio, like, I'm making a joke about a guy doing a kid dance, generally for children, right? And then
it picked up steam.
Yeah, we kind of kept running with it, and then people were like, how are you bringing this up? No one's talking about this except for you two. But I'll say this. I remember when he did it, I just remember thinking, oh, well, that's a thing. Because of the way that happened, like, I thought the penalty shot call in overtime was kind of soft. I thought it was a tad undeserving. Don't get me wrong. I know it was a huge goal for Detroit. I know they were at home. I know they're chasing a playoff spot for the first time in forever. And the guy felt that grittying was the appropriate response. But the only reason I kept bringing it up in a joking manner was because of the Morgan Riley, Ridley Greig thing. Like, I was like, oh, well, we've got our own retribution on the horizon. And it kind of took on a life of its own. They have not mentioned thing one about it. Nobody has, just so we're clear. The coaching staff hasn't mentioned it. The players haven't mentioned it. We get to find out on Thursday, because that's the other thing that I brought to the table on the conversation was, I was like, unlike the Battle of Ontario, there is another meeting between these two teams. They meet in, like, 5 days' time. So if there is any hard feelings, they'll get to sort it out. But for the record, nobody from the Canucks said anything about it. I just thought it was something that caught my eye when Walman did it. And I just wondered about, given I'm pretty familiar with guys rubbing it in and hot-dogging it after having a goal scored, that they might have stuck in some of the guys' craws. That's it, though. That's it.
Kippen, going through the guys in my head, I was like, who in their team would kill him most, be most mad? And the answer is talking. It's
right. Oh, okay, that was the first guy I thought of. Okay, good. So we're on the same page. That's what I thought.
And,
I'm like,
and footer.
I like that, 100%.
Yeah. One last one here. Mike, just before we let you go, like, if Jimmy Rutherford and Alvin are looking back right now at their lineup, what team are they looking in the West saying, that's the team that that's the one team that we got to match up with? Or, you know, is it Vegas? Is it Colorado? Who's their team that they look at their roster and say, yeah, we got the one to beat them now?
I mean, the one that I'm – put it this way, we are now actively cheering for Vegas and Edmonton to finish 2-3 in the division so that they can play each other in the first round and just beat the living snot out of each other, because I think those are the two that are going to be the toughest challenge. Colorado as well, 100%. But Edmonton is on such a tear. It's been such a turnaround. And, you know, the Canucks have beat them multiple times this year. Right, I think it's the 3 out of 3, including that 8-1 demolishing at the very beginning of the year, that there's going to be a lingering bad taste and everything. So Edmonton scares me a little bit. Vegas does too, although they're not as healthy. Colorado, I keep wondering if Colorado is going to make a big move before the deadline to put themselves over the top or to solve a couple of things so they could be scared. But those would be the three. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. The Canucks, they're the first place team in the NHL by 4 points. They match up well with pretty much everybody, but there's some really good teams there that have the playoff experience as well. They're all going to be tough outs for no matter how well the Canucks match up against them.
Mike, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
No worry, boys. Have a good day. Talk soon.
You too, Mike. Thanks.
That is the co-host of the Halford and Brough Show out in Vancouver. They do a great job.
They really do. It's a great show. Great guys.
And listen, I mean, yeah, I don't buy this whole kind of, like, we're far beyond sellies as being something that gets under our skin. Like, it's not even a comparison with the Morgan Riley.
No, I made the case that one of them is about sticking, you know, Greig is sticking it to Toronto, where one guy's trying to celebrate with his team. To me, and that's a,
to be fair,
dividing factor.
Beautiful, gritty. He really did.
He really nailed it?
Oh, did he ever.
But don't you kind of think, like, I'm not saying they're going to go do something, but if there's a chance to say, hey, F you to the guy, you probably don't, you don't love it.
I think if you're going to do something, this is how often happens in the NFL, where a guy will have like a signature celebration. So for example,
they'll do it.
Johnny Manziel was coming in, he was like the money Manziel. Newton did the Superman thing. So often when guys sacked him, they'd do the Superman thing. So it was like, maybe if you score a game-winning goal, maybe Elias Pettersson could hit the gritty or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's not like he's going to wear a cross check to the chin, but...
Just my personal experience when I played way back when.
Yeah.
When I wanted to kill a guy.
Right, okay. Right.
It was usually an accumulation of things.
Okay.
Right? So it wouldn't just be like one instance, like a dance or a celly. It would be like, okay, again and again, enough with this guy. Someone's going to have to take a strip off of him.
It goes on the ledger in the cons side of reasons, you know, is this a good thing or a bad thing with Wallman? It's like, it's a thing that I don't like. And if he does more things I don't like, they're starting to build up. So
to go back to our previous conversation before we had Mike on, I looked up the secondary assist leaders in the NHL. According to Icy Data, is that a good thing, Borny? Does that work?
Never heard of it, pal. Okay. Sorry.
This is according to Icy Data, which seems to be very official. Who do you think leads the league in secondary assists?
Quinn Hughes.
Nope.
Defenseman.
Is that wrong? Do you have something different?
Nope. A defenseman?
Okay. Nope.
Kucherov.
Still be one of the big boys. McKinnon or McDavid.
Yeah, just guys who are on the ice a lot on the power play.
Kale McCarr's second. Filip Hronek is third. Nikita Kucherov, Connor McDavid, Barkov, Tim Stützle.
I saw for first assist, Marner has 24 and Matthews has 14.
So,
to check.
Did you know who leads in primary assists?
I got McKinnon.
It is not McKinnon.
No?
It is
Kucherov.
Connor McDavid has 34 primary assists. And I said by a ton. A ton is one. Kucherov has 33.
Okay, so McDavid at 34, and then who's second?
Kucherov's 33.
Kucherov?
Then JT Miller with 32. Then Matthew Tkachuk and Matthew Barzal would round out the top five. And yeah, you know who's really high on this list that's super impressive is Noah Dobson with 27. Mm-hmm. 27 primary assists for him this year.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I agree with you that that's like a pretty relevant thing. Like this guy directly
is
creating the goals.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, seeing that it's like different guys makes it more relevant to me
than just the usual guys.
Yeah, and William Nylander's up there too with 24. Same with Marner, 24. So interesting list. Glad you made me look that up, Kippy.
Yeah.
Do you want to do some game time?
Game time.
Let it rip, Sammy.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I was looking at the futures because we looked at the Calder yesterday. And now with these, because there's some pretty heavy favorites on here in terms of the major trophies, you can bet against the field. So Connor Bedard to win the Calder is minus 200. The field is plus 160. So if you think somebody else is going to get there, you can bet on this the field at plus 160. But for that one, it's pretty clear that it's going to be anyone other than him. It's Faber, and he's 3-1. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. Faber.
The Hart Memorial Trophy is one that's interesting to me. Because Nathan MacKinnon is minus 115 favorite to win the Hart. But if you want the field, it's minus 105. So you're getting almost even money. And you get a lot of really good players who could have great second halves. Like McDavid is on fire.
Yeah.
And he could easily get himself into the top by close to the end of the
game. After last night, The Athletic actually has him as the favorite. Dom Lecision put out his rankings today.
Really?
Quinn Hughes third. Matthews fourth. Kucherov fifth.
But McDavid is one?
Yep.
Over McKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't agree with that.
Six assists last night is a lot of points.
Yeah, that helps. That helps.
You know,
six in one game really
tilts
does
the scales
help
a little bit.
And you could also bet on the same for Quinn Hughes with the Norris. He's a minus 180 favorite to win the Norris. You can bet on the field at plus 145. But if you look at who's actually favored on this list here, it's Quinn Hughes at minus 180, Cale Makar plus 160. The next closest is Noah Dobson at plus 2,500.
Wow.
So they're pretty sure that it's going to be one of those two guys, and they're not giving you any juice on anyone else. And the Rocket Richard clearly is Matthews is minus 300, and then you can bet on the field at plus 225 if you think somebody's going to get really hot. So I just thought that was interesting that they've kind of changed it up there because there's some pretty clear favorites in all the categories. And as far as games tonight, not a ton on the go. Panthers in Pittsburgh to take on the Penguins. Sorry, Sharks huge underdogs against the Jets, and the Wild and Arizona Coyotes almost even
money. Look at the over under in the Florida Pittsburgh game if you have that.
I do have it. The total is six.
Six, pretty yeah, and even money on both sides of that.
+100 on over, -120 on under. Okay. So there you go. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, the latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
Just one note on that Calder Trophy. Like, they don't want it slipping out of the hands of Connor Bedard.
ESPN it's is just marketing, like leaning on the scale. It's just,
like, and Brock
Such
Faber
a good point.
Should get it.
You're right. But they're like, Minnesota, a defenseman. Yeah, we can't sell that.
So
we
like,
can't sell that.
What you're saying is when Connor Bedard returns it next week and he starts shooting him in the net, that number is going to go from -200 to -500 again.
Yeah.
Really good point. That actually might be the bet.
That you're never going to get a better number than -200 right now.
But it is the writers who vote on that. So I can't see how ESPN, unless they talk to their voters.
I don't know. It's just... The writers can get caught up in that sizzle, too.
Yeah. I vow to remain strong.
You know, one thing that kind of is...
Good for you, Barney.
One thing that's kind of sliding under the radar a little bit on this Brock Faber is the price that Rob Blake paid to get Fiala.
Oh, was he part of that trade?
Go back and look at that trade, guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Go back and look at that trade. It was Kevin Fiala went to LA, and he's a good player.
Yeah.
With the first round pick
but,
as well.
Ooh, it was Faber. Brock Faber and a first round pick.
A 19th overall, not like a 30th.
No. Top 20 pick plus Faber. And we're talking about a guy right now that could be in the league as a bona fide one or two defensemen in the National Hockey League. Like, you don't give up wingers for the type of player that Faber's gonna end up being.
And they also gave away Durzi.
And
was it a second they gave Durzi away for? And he's lighting it up for Arizona.
Fiala's also making $8 million a year until 2028 or something.
And they also got Liam Ogren in that trade. That was the first round pick. Swedish guy playing in the Swedish Elite League right now. So that's crazy. That's a tough one.
All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we return, we're gonna get some sound from Ridley Gregg too. I think we have that, don't we?
Oh, we have it.
All right, we're gonna talk a little bit more.
Do it again if I had the chance.
he's heading into
my
kitchen.
Is that what he said?
He's heading into my kitchen, boys, getting ready to slam the cupboards.
We'll find out exactly what he said when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the biggest trends in hockey, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back, Real Kipper and Bourne. So Ridley Gregg spoke after the 6-3 victory last night over the Columbus Blue Jackets and
Red Hot Sens.
Couple
always red hot.
Excellent teams going head to head there.
Sens are good.
Oh yeah, great.
So we have not
all the time.
We did up until after the game. We did not hear a word from Ridley on his now famous empty net slap shot goal.
75.3 miles per hour of hate.
He did score last night as well.
Tipped one in.
Apparently got a huge ovation the second he touched the puck.
Man. If you're a Sens fan, you loved how that went down.
Oh, you couldn't love it more. You truly couldn't
love
it more.
You win the game. You draw that sound bite.
We do have him talking for sure. Do you want to play it there, Derek?
Did he catch you off guard?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think you're ever expecting a guy to come cross-check you in the face. But I'm not sure if he meant to do that, but a little bit.
this is our first chance to obviously talk to you since, but can you just even walk us through that sequence and just deciding to wind up there and what kind of was going through your mind and the emotions that were maybe going through you?
Yeah, just a lot of adrenaline, just the heat of the moment, heat of the game. It was an emotional game. I just got a breakaway and thought I'd bury it.
Sam, how you doing?
My first thought
I love that
is like asking Ridley, what's it like not expecting a cross check to the head? Like I played my whole life
expecting
a cross check to my head.
When you look at a man and he's coming towards your face with
angrily,
a stick, probably should expect it. He was. That's the thing that kills me. Everyone's like, oh, he wasn't look. He was turned looking at him after he took a clapper into an get your hands up, and this never happens. There's no suspension. There's no nothing. It's a lot like what Nick Cousins does after he throws a big hit. He just stands there and looks stupid, and the guys bury him. It's like, expect it. It's hockey.
Yeah, it's funny. I think you have to play that up, though, right? You can't be like, I knew what I was doing. You can't say that.
From a Toronto Maple Leaf angle, we get that side.
Yeah.
But from an Ottawa side, too, like, I think it's in a season where it's just been nothing but a disappointment.
Yeah.
I think I would like Ridly Greig on my team.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
energy, he's a talented player. He's got some gumption here. I think every once in a while, you got to be known for something. And this is really the start of his career right now, that he's known as a guy that could do this or maybe learn something from it. But I'd hate to see him now kind of disappear and not be a guy that goes back and gets lost in the crowd. He's kind of stepped up a little bit. I hope he runs a little bit with this.
Yeah. You don't want to be a guy who did a silly thing and it got some attention or whatever. You know, this can be something, when you look at the cumulative list of what Brad Marchand has done, it's like, it's because he kept doing it that everyone's like, this guy, say what you will, his nose is in everything, pun semi-intended.
He literally licks somebody's face.
He's constantly in the mix. But if you can't lick a guy's visor, then never do anything else. You know, this has to be a part of the fabric of who he is.
I saw the highlights in the game last night. Didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights. I saw a future Leaf Boone Jenner take him down.
Boone Jenner did hammer put a pretty good lick on him.
Oh,
but that's part of you put a target on yourself.
You want to be a guy that people want to take runs at. It means that you're pissing them off.
I know.
You're doing something right.
That means you should anticipate the odd cross check to the chin.
I played with Ridley's dad in Hartford.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mark Greig. Like, the best guy.
Okay.
Really good guy. And there's no question Ridley's a great kid, too.
Yeah.
Automatic. Guilty of being a great kid by association here. And I know his dad well enough to say, yeah, Ridley, probably not the best idea. Maybe you want to take something off the slap shot a little bit.
Yeah.
And there'd be a learning kind of experience there for sure. But I hope the kid doesn't lose anything off of it, because I think he's got a chance for a really good career here.
Yeah, for sure. Great. I think he's a good player and also just super young, right? Like, I don't know if you remember the decisions you made at 21. Maybe you were in the NHL or whatever and you weren't making dumb decisions.
Not even close.
I was in college making really poor decisions consistently. And, you know, there is some time where you look back when you're 31, 41 and go, oh.
I don't even have this as a really poor decision, you know?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I just have it as just a goofy thing to do. That's all.
Yeah.
Agree?
I'm not that.
We do not agree.
I'm not that bothered by
looking
it.
I'm looking at Mark Gregg's hockey DB.
Yeah.
Hell of a hockey DB.
How many empty netters?
I can't tell that on here. But like some wild teams. AHL, IHL, DEL. It's very cool.
Could shoot the puck, too.
Played one year for the Hamburg Freezers.
I mean, that just can't be real.
Played for the Quebec Raphael? Like, what is the Raphaels?
Shreveport Mudbugs.
We might have to get him on the show.
Houston Aero. Yeah, I'm not texting him.
This is our producer.
But listen, I don't know. Hockey people are simple people. Like if
that's an understatement.
And you know, there's some people that said that they love the entertainment of what that brought.
Yes, the league should and love the way that played out.
Toronto, Ottawa again, put some fire in everyone's belly. Again. Would have been nice to see them in one more game here.
Do you think Morgan and Ridley will have a fight? Have a good old fashion.
No, I don't even know if it's that. It's like, I hope there's something that happens in the next game that warrants a fight more than that.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's got to be an accumulation of stuff. If Ridley goes back out there and hammers somebody or, you know, does something again, something stupid, then it just adds to the element.
I don't think Ridley's not going to get hit the next time they play the Leafs. Like, I don't think they're going to outright forget it.
I mean,
I think it's over.
It's October.
Yeah, if it's over, knows it fight. But yeah. I think there's some, I hate this guy to this now.
Yeah.
Do you know? Speaking of Ottawa, Brady Kachuk had a hat trick last night.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Listen, they're
top 10 favorite player in the league for me.
They've got 30 games to go, and there's no, despite how bad their season has gone, I don't think there's a better team still out there to sell hope.
Oh,
than the Ottawa Senators.
They're the best bad team by miles.
That's all they got.
I know, but it's
every year, that's all they sell.
It's a good got.
Well, it's
Sammy.
True.
But they're legitimately, they have talent. They have talent on the roster.
Kipper, they've been selling this exact same hope for the last three second halves of the season.
Yeah, I'm not debating you on that, but they're still a team that a lot of people would be envious of having to start.
They are still last in the Atlantic Division, but
they really buried themselves, eh?
Yeah, but they're only a -7 goal differential team. You know, the Canadians are -37. I think by the time the Capitals -37, Blue Jackets -41, like they're going to be an okay team. They're a few pieces away. Maybe Craig Berube has been mentioned.
They only have to jump six teams to get back in the playoffs picture.
I'm not saying they're making the playoffs this year, but this is like Vancouver last year, where it's like you can see pieces there.
I said I was back. I'm back.
You're back, baby.
Oh, I hate
him
so much.
I do find now the last couple of years, and I don't know if it's the system or just teams are tired or what, but like it's looking like a snail's pace for teams to try to grab a wild card spot. Like, and again, last night,
a
pretty good example. And, you know, you guys have used the Toronto Maple Leafs every once in a while. They'll lose a game or two, and you're like, they're wild card, and they could miss the playoffs. And it's like,
it's a great impression of me, buddy.
It's not bad.
Who's catching them, Sammy?
But the Devils are two points out of the wild
card
spot.
They have no goalie. Get a goalie, and then we'll talk.
Devils might win the Stanley Cup still. Clip that.
Your Islanders.
My Islanders are...
What is going on with your Islanders? They get this coach who's got all this moxie and coming in and going to change the world, and
Islanders,
they can't get past the Kraken.
Islanders fans, don't listen to this. Just turn off the TV for a sec.
What is going on there?
They're not that good. They're just not that
good.
But
their defense got healthy.
Yeah, their defense got healthy, so they should be better. But, I mean, they are porous defensively as a team. That Seattle team that beat them last night was coming off a game the night before. They've been losing like crazy. And by every metric, they outplayed the Islanders. Like, they're just a little old, a little slow. All right, take it easy. You know, I still think they're going to tease that final wild card spot. They'll be around there, but they're not that.
Now,
good.
One team I could be a little wrong on is the Pittsburgh Penguins, because I had them a week ago, 10 days ago, going, come on, guys. You got Sid. He's got Sid. That's all I need to say. Yeah. You have Sid, and he's really, really good. Please tell me you can get in the playoffs still with Sid.
They can.
Don't talk about playoffs?
They're 7 points out of a playoff spot, but they have three games in hand on every team above them. So they need to string together some wins here.
Maybe their general manager will come out and say they can and they will make the playoffs.
Has their general manager talked much this year?
I haven't heard a whole lot.
No.
Definitely not when he came here, that's for sure.
Three games.
Not a word, right?
Not a word.
Everything's great.
Three games on tap tonight, including Florida Panthers in Pitt.
Yes.
And that one's going to be a tough one.
The last time those two teams played, I have never watched an NHL team play a game more offended than the Florida Panthers. They played in Pittsburgh, and it was just every little thing. It was a total disaster. There was a fight. They are chasing Letang around.
They are so old school.
They are.
The Florida Panthers.
They are.
They're mean. They got swagger.
Yep.
They'll challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
And like every game. I haven't seen them take too many nights off.
That's what I mean. It's just they have the ability to be offended by every little thing. And that's why the Leafs' goal should not be to pass the Tampa Bay Lightning. Much like Halford was saying with the Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers, you want those two teams to play each other in the first round. Like, you want the Battle of Florida and you go into the Metro and play the Rangers or have to deal with the Bruins. I know those, neither of those are easy, but they are way better matchups for the Leafs than the Cats are. Like, that's a horrifying matchup.
Yeah, the Rangers are, I know they've won a bunch in a row here.
They're a good team.
They're flawed. They're offensively kind of one way.
Panthers. And yeah. They're not going to be pushing you around the whole game.
Meow!
God, I hate that drop. I'm gonna go punch Derek when I see him next time. I hate that drop so much.
Good drop.
Nah, did you just sneeze on the air?
Yeah. Is that against rules and regulations?
I've been in broadcasting for like 25 years now.
Yeah.
I've never sneezed on air.
You just had your nose broken so many times.
Know.
It's just like passageways.
I'll go home and I'll sneeze like 9 times in a row, but I've never done it on air.
I'm going to keep an eye out for this. I can't pin it down. Don't think you ever have. By the way, healthy as a horse, too. I haven't missed a shift this year. Good for you.
You just jinxed me, didn't you? Yeah.
Monday after the All-Star game was a fight. But other than that, we've been good.
Dragged him in here. The wheelbarrow.
Horses.
Valentine's Day today, boys. I don't know what you guys have planned or nothing planned.
I talk to the guy who invented Valentine's Day.
Valentine's. I don't know.
I think it was Hallmark.
Yeah.
But here's what I'll say, because I think we have a lot of males that listen to the show. People get their back up at this one. They're like, it's stupid. It's an invented holiday. You can just, show a little love. Show a little love. All that matters. Like,
not
listen, I'm not Mr. Relationship Advice here. But just get some roses, get a card, chocolate, go for dinner, do whatever you want to do. Just, I'm not Mr. Casanova, but it's not that hard, okay? It's a stupid holiday. It 100% is. But just embrace it. It's one day.
I think that's really nice advice.
Thank you.
The only thing I'll add on that is, you don't feel like you have to go buy something really expensive, right? Do you have a little...
Listen, every day is Valentine's Day for my wife. Okay.
I want her on that. I want her opinion on that.
Every day.
Okay. Bye.
If anyone deserves a card and a box of chocolates.
Deal with you.
It's your wife.
One thing I don't need is chocolate in the house.
Okay. All right. Fair
okay?
enough.
You had this drawer for the last 2 months.
It was Valentine's Day for us.
Okay, what is going on
chocolate.
With you and sugar? Because
I
don't touch the stuff unless I see it.
Yeah.
And when I do see it, you get me in big trouble.
It's like your wife. I need to keep my blood sugar up so I don't get grumpy so I can deal with you. So I keep a fresh supply of chocolate
keep you
on hand.
On
so
your toes.
You do.
Enjoy the dinners tonight. Get some roses, some chocolate for your significant other, and enjoy some time spent together. I'm going for dinner with my wife tonight. It's nice. Enjoy it.
That's really sweet.
There it is. Yeah.
Like, what happened last night? You in the doghouse?
Yeah.
Like, there's something happened now.
Off, we need to have a
you
chat.
You don't suck up like that
you
for
think
no
my wife
apparent reason.
To the show? Are you crazy?
No, I don't.
Maybe you just try to clear your conscience or something. I don't know.
Listen, I'm a lover, boys. That's what you don't
you
know
go.
About me.
You're not a fighter.
Guy. That's for sure.
We know you're not a fighter. All right. Great job today, guys. Got through 2 hours. Nobody from HR is knocking on our door right now. It's a good sign. Mike Halford from Halford and Brough. Thank you very much for your time at the top of the hour. 3 games on tap tonight, including ours on Wednesday Night Hockey at Sportsnet. San Jose versus Winnipeg.
See if these Jets can get rolling again.
All right. And if you get a chance, give us a rating and review. If you can't catch us live, you can always download us on any of your favorite pods. Have a great night, everybody, and we're back tomorrow.